Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's NPL show, the official radio show dedicated to the Northern Premier League. I'm Ben, and down the other end of the phone, it's another world-class non-league journalist for you all. It's Mr. Andrew Simpson, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello from Crisis Corner. Hello. You get me on for Crisis Corner, don't you?
Well, we had Thomas Feeney on last week. I think he did a cracking job, by the way, dear listener.
He absolutely did.
So we have got James coming on to talk about the social media that's going on in the Northern Premier League. Loads of reruns of matches from this past season. So we'll find out what's coming up this week on the social media accounts of the Northern Premier League. And we've got Tom Wright coming on as well, Matlock Town chairman, to talk about the fantastic offer that the club's doing for next season, whenever that starts, for NHS workers to get free season tickets at Causeway Lane. So Tom joining us shortly. But Simo, you're here.
I am.
Now they used to say a week's a long time in politics. A week's a long time in non-league football, let me tell you, dear listener. We're recording this show at 5:15 on Friday, deliberately, to make sure we don't miss too much. Firstly, we had Mark Harris on the show last week, most listened to show of the season. So big thank you to Mark for joining us. 64 clubs signing a collective letter asking the FA to reconsider their decision to void the season from step three below. Simo, your take.
Well, that number is now swelled to, I think, nearly 150 signatures. And there is a fair sprinkling now of Northern Premier League teams in there, obviously led by South Shields, but there are others that have added their name to the list as the week has gone on. You're quite right. It moved on at the start of the week following your interview with Mark this time last week, in that they formally submitted the letter or formally published the open letter. Well, I think what's happened behind the scenes is individual clubs have sent a copy of that to the FA. And as we record this now on Friday, there's a slight impasse while those clubs wait to see what response they're going to get from the FA in terms of, firstly, an acknowledgement, and then also a little bit, you know, whether they're going to get any answers to some of the questions that were posed in the letter, which is a great letter, by the way. I urge everybody to have a look at it if they haven't already. Where it leaves us is that the FA are going to ask their FA Council to vote and then ratify the decision that was made, and you talked about on last week's show, to null and void the season. Now, my understanding is that that council meeting was originally scheduled for this week to be held at Wembley, but for obvious reasons in the broader context that, firstly, they can't gather at Wembley to do it. And as a result, that has been postponed. And I was told by a source last night that no new date yet has been arranged. So there might be a slight pause here while they kind of decide how they're going to hold the council meeting. I think we've all become familiar with Zoom and Microsoft Teams over the past couple of weeks, so no matter what our profession might be. So how you would, I mean, on a practical level, just as an aside, how you would organise something like that electronically must be a logistical nightmare in itself. Never mind the fact you're making a momentous decision while you're doing so. So I think that's the next stage now. We're going to wait and see what the FA Council's verdict is. Will they go along with the recommendation of the leagues that have made the decision, or will they, and they're being lobbied hard, by the way, by lots of the clubs that are on this list, individually writing to their FA Council members to ask them to think carefully before they cast their vote. We've also kind of more broadly got some examples of members of parliament who have written to the sports minister on behalf of their clubs to kind of firstly make him aware of it, but then also potentially with a view to, you know, if this goes broader, calling on the support of MPs. So we've got this kind of wait now to do find out, firstly, when the FA Council is going to gather virtually, inverted commas, to kind of, you know, debate and then make their decision about this. I mean, I was asked this morning on social media, you know, what will happen? I mean, if they ratify it, does it then all go away and the original decision stands? Well, the answer to that is no. There are other options that the clubs may wish to pursue, initially within the football framework, and there's an arbitration process that they could access in order to get the decision looked at. And even then, if that was to still keep the original decision in place, that would then give them, you know, they have another option then to look outside of the football framework and potentially look at legal redress in other ways. So even if it is ratified, it doesn't necessarily signal the end of the process. And certainly with the momentum that this has gathered over the past 7 days, it doesn't seem to me that that's going to kind of run out of steam or run out of energy anytime soon. I think they, from what they've said publicly, from what the chairman, Jeff Thompson, has said publicly, they're kind of in this for the long haul. They want to see this, at the absolute minimum, looked at again in a more comprehensive way. I suppose the question I can't answer is, if the FA Council were to turn around and say, actually, we're not going to support this decision that you've recommended, what the FA would then do would be quite interesting, whether they start from scratch and look at it again, or whether they kind of dig their heels in. I'm not quite sure what happens there. So there's a few kind of forks in the road yet before we know where this is going to go next. And of course, it's very, very difficult to put a time frame on it, because, like I said, just the practical level of arranging the FA Council meeting is proving to be a little bit of a challenge, and everything's going to take slightly longer than maybe it would have done. The irony, of course, being that by the time they get around to thrashing out the arguments, could a suspension have ended up being the right thing to do because we can play football matches? The answer to that, of course, is at the moment, we don't know. And there's still too many we don't know, despite the sterling effort, by the way, of the Northern Premier League chairman, Mark Harris, last week to give us some really good insight into how the process had reached the point that it did on Friday. But I think the frustration still of many is that there's still this long list of unanswered questions. So that's where the kind of immediate term of this is going to go next, I think.
Yeah. So basically, we've got a decision. It's still not been ratified, and we've got a load of clubs who aren't happy. At this stage, I do need to mention there are a significant amount of clubs who are generally happy with what's been announced. I'm not just talking clubs who've been saved from relegation as a result of this decision. Generally, there's clubs out there who are satisfied. So how do you balance it?
No, I think that's a really good point, and it's important to acknowledge that. Mark did a really good kind of summary of the kind of breadth of opinion, and that's been really clear this week with the debates that have been going on online. Obviously, the people who feel kind of most wronged, if that's the right way of putting it, are the teams kind of in those either title-winning positions or certainly promotion playoff contending positions. It's obvious why they're upset, because they believe they've been denied an opportunity to step up to the next level. But yeah, it's really important to point out that there is this very broad range of opinion, and you've actually still got a fair chunk of that audience saying that they remain in favour, actually, of the season being suspended indefinitely, which is the position currently of the National League, which of course is traditionally where the Northern Premier League promote to. So there's still a kind of school of thought out there of actually suspension would still have been a good idea. But we were talking off air, and you know, these individuals have gone on record. You know, we've seen comments by the chairman at Warrington Town, Toby McCormack, and a couple of other chairmen to say that financially a suspension would be an existential threat to their club. So it's a very, very serious situation, no matter which option you take. The other thing I would say is that, you know, you see people say, oh, you can't please everybody. And quite right, you can't please everybody. But I also think that also shouldn't be your objective here. It's a flawed objective to set out to go, well, let's try and reach a solution that everybody's happy with, because you're setting yourself up to fail. And again, I think Mark articulated that really well last week. So it's vital to acknowledge that whilst of course it's interesting to see the case led by South Shields and the other clubs to be gathering support as the days go by, it's really striking to see that they still at the moment represent quite a small percentage of the overall number of clubs. Now, just because that is the case, it doesn't mean there's lots of clubs that wouldn't necessarily be sympathetic to that cause, but it is important to acknowledge that there are others who are diametrically opposed to the position that is being taken by the clubs who signed the letter. Where I do think there actually probably is consensus is over some of the issues that those clubs have raised in terms of the timing of the decision, the way in which it was announced. You know, lots of people come out in the past week and said, oh, we found out about it from social media. And then there's obviously been some debate about the level and depth of consultation that took place between the people making the decision at the FA and then the other stakeholders, which is not a word that I like, but clubs, players, you know, how fit for purpose was that consultation? And I think quite a lot of people, irrespective of which side of the argument they're on, do kind of kind of gather around that point and say, well, actually, yeah, we think that could have been done a little bit better. But again, as Mark pointed out last week, and it was quite revealing that, you know, he said the Northern Premier League was put in a position where they were asked on a Friday to formulate a response or formulate their position on this and send it into the FA by the following Monday morning. So it made a kind of meaningful consultation quite difficult with the 60-odd member clubs just of the Northern Premier League, never mind what all the other leagues found themselves in. So it's really kind of nuanced and complex, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, at the end of the day, the other thing we should say is as well about these consultations, if you go to the league and each individual club and a proportion of them, you know, go one way and another proportion go another, it goes back to the league committee anyway to decide. So,
And also, you know, whether you're a betting man or not, that's likely to happen, yes, isn't it? You're likely to get that spread of opinion. We've seen, I don't think I've seen an example at step three, the step we're talking about today, but I've seen a couple of the step five leagues that have done a kind of survey exercise with their members. I think the Combined Counties was one, and I've seen a couple of others where, and it came back and it was really interesting that there was no overall majority, not even close, by the way, overall majority for one particular position. So even if you do get the consultation that the clubs are lobbying for, there's absolutely no guarantee whatsoever that you're going to kind of get a concrete answer. In fact, I would say the likelihood is that you're not going to get that concrete answer, but at least you have ticked the box of asking as many people as possible.
And then you've got the likes of FC United, who, just to remind everyone, just here for a good time this season. you know, they said we'd like points per game to be used, but, you know, when it comes to the decision, we'll accept it, whatever happens. So you've got those people in the middle ground as well, who also exist. So
Yeah. I would make a quick point on that. You know, I spoke to the chairman at Witton Albion today just to kind of get a feel for how things were going there and also kind of what their take on this was. I mean, they are unaffected in any way because they're going to finish, if things stay as they are, they'll be finishing in mid-table. So they don't necessarily have a horse in the race to kind of mix the metaphors. But he was making the point that the Northern Premier League, like the National League, is essentially the football equivalent of a private members club. And also what that means is that when you kind of pay your dues to become a member, you're kind of also signing up to abide by the rules of that member club. And so he was kind of acceding to what Mark was saying about, you know, the board, even if they couldn't carry out a kind of formal and in-depth consultation, kind of have it vested in them to go away and kind of represent the league's interests. So he was kind of making the point that they've kind of, all the clubs in the National League or the Northern Premier League have signed up to be members of these clubs and therefore abide by the rules. Of course, caveat is that we have a scenario here that the existing rules don't have a suggestion of how to handle. You know, it's that word that's kind of bandied about at the moment, that kind of word unprecedented, but it does apply here. We're here probably hearing it overused, but even with the set of rules that the clubs have signed up to, this doesn't come under that anyway. So you're kind of having to break with convention to reach a conclusion.
Now, let's talk about, we touched upon the National League because they've obviously got a part to play in all this as well. Whilst everything from step three and below is null and voided for this season as things stand, the National League this week, their board has met and has basically took the decision to suspend the season indefinitely. They're waiting on the Football League, essentially, and the Football League's waiting on the Premier League. So it's after you, Claude.
Yeah, and this is another of the frustrations of the clubs from step three down to step seven that have been told that their season is A, over, and B, will be wiped from the record, is that you've now got this kind of two tiers within the National League system itself, because the National League, for understandable reasons, by the way, because they want to protect their promotion positions into the EFL, into the English Football League, are trying to align themselves with the professional game for as long as possible. And they've been given a little bit of support in order to do that today with the Premier League's announcement that they're suspending the season indefinitely. And there's also some financial support going to be made available for National League clubs to access. So that will probably buy them that little bit of time to see if there is any now possibility to restart the 1920 season at a later date. But of course, that leaves us with this paradox now of, well, the shutters, as we sit here now, the shutters have been pulled down on steps three to seven. So we still don't kind of have clarity on what's going to happen to the teams that finish in the bottom positions in the National League North and National League South. It would seem to me inconceivable that the National League are going to have relegation, that you aren't then going to fill those vacancies from below. So you, whilst it's dangerous to assume, and you said to me off air, never assume, quite right, it's hard to conceive that there will be relegation from the National League. So, yeah, but to answer your question is, yeah, you've got this contrast now of two different positions within the National League system, which, you know, this has been one of the things that I've been complaining about over the past week or so, is that we've kind of splintered it, and you wonder kind of whether that divide can be bridged again. The answer is we don't know at the moment, because nobody knows what the short-term future is going to hold. But that is a concern for everybody that follows a club at this level. Are we now going to have this permanent schism between the National League and everybody else?
This is where the mess comes in, really, because until we get that clarity of when the 2019-20 season is going to finish, we can't start the 2020-21 season, can we? So, I mean, there's probably going to be an overlap, isn't there, I'd imagine?
Well, I think you make a really important point there, and this is something that Paul Lawler, the chairman of the North West Counties League, has been really strong on that in the past week. It's worth looking up his comments if people haven't had an opportunity to do that, because he's trying to make the point that we've kind of now got to deal with unintended consequences, because finding the short-term fix for clubs that are saying that they had financial pressures to meet contractual obligations to their players and therefore bringing an end to the season kind of eased that pressure for them has created another problem in that nobody now knows when the 2020-21 season will be able to start. And there's a very real possibility that clubs in the Northern Premier League, because that's what we're talking about tonight, might not play a competitive game again now for months on end. And therefore, the opportunity to generate income through the gate, which is one of the biggest earners for clubs at this level, there's no prospect of that anytime soon. I suppose the counter argument, if you suspended the season with a prospect of resuming, they can at least kind of go, well, there's a chance of us recouping some money when games get played again. And we might even have bumper gates, by the way, because people want to go and get a football fix. That's off the table at the moment if the situation is allowed to stand as is. And so Paul Lawler was making the point that finding a short-term fix for one financial problem has left us with another one to resolve, because clubs have got no way of generating any income for quite some time now. And clubs like FC United, like Witton Albion, who have got facilities that they use to generate revenue, whether that's a social club or kind of function rooms or whatever. Well, stadiums are closed at the moment anyway because people can't gather. So the club's ability to generate any income at all is nil for the foreseeable future. And where does that leave people? And so we've got another set of questions to answer about overlap. I think that was interesting. I mean, could you conceivably have FA Cup qualifiers and things like that whilst the other seasons are finishing? I think possibly, but you're right. Normally, everybody starts the season at the same time and everybody finishes the season by the same deadline. And if you're going to potentially have the 19-20 season carrying on into either the summer or even the autumn, perhaps, what happens then? Do you have to wait for everybody to align again? It's a really interesting question. We've got no clarity on that at the moment.
Yeah. Just before we go, just a quick mention, 4 points per game. You cover a sport called rugby union.
Yes.
No idea. Union. What's the... they've come to a consensus. I think we can describe this as a consensus.
They have, which is remarkable. It also proves it can be done. They've faced some of the same issues in that you've got this breadth of opinion within the game. You've got people who think that, like in soccer, as they call it, the records should be wiped and the season be null and void and everybody rocks up again whenever the 2021 season might begin. I mean, the RFU came pretty quickly to a decision to A, suspend and then say no resumption of their season. They kind of turned that around very quickly. What they've spent the last 2.5 weeks doing is squirreling away in a dark room to look at whether there's any potential way of salvaging the season in terms of what's been played. There are a couple of differences that are probably important to point out in that the semi-professional rugby union season was more advanced than the semi-professional football one. So, for example, in one of the leagues that I write about, in which Northwich Rugby Club play, there was no team in their division with more than six games left. Most of them had five, some had four. So they were much closer to the finish line than, for example, the Northern Premier League and some of the other leagues are. So they felt a little bit on more firm ground to say, we can maybe work something out here. And by the time that this podcast comes out, the RFU will have announced what the final league tables will look like. They let everybody know yesterday the formula that they've used to calculate it. It is kind of, I kind of described it yesterday as almost like points per game plus. It's a little bit more sophisticated. Obviously, the scoring system in rugby union is slightly different. You get 4 points for a win, 2 points for a draw, but you also then get bonus points right. added to your total if you score four tries in a game or if you are within 7 points of the team that beats you. So it's slightly more complicated. So very quickly, what they've done is they come up with a formula which works out the average number of points that you've scored in home games, the average number of points that you've scored in away games, and then they've used a pools panel to apply those averages to the fixtures that you had left. And that then brings you to a points total. So they've used the existing information that they've got about your form this season. They've split it down the middle with home and away, which is slightly different to what's been suggested in football. And then they've actually tried to predict, using that information, what the results would have been of the remaining games. I can hear people screaming already saying, oh, but it's sport, you never know what's going to happen. And absolutely, that's a valid criticism. But what the RFU have done is a very defined line in the sand and said, 80% of the season, we'd like it to stand. They are committed to promotion and relegation using that system, by the way. So that's going to be interesting. There's going to be some teams finding out on Friday night that they've been relegated by this system, by the way. So there's winners and very much losers. Another thing that's been in the mix, and this hasn't been mentioned in football, is that the RFU has spoken to some clubs who are already in relegation positions, and those clubs have expressed that they actually would quite like to drop down a level so that they can financially and on the field kind of regenerate with a bid to try and come back again. So there's actually been those conversations. I'm pretty certain that hasn't happened in football. You know, we're kind of, well, actually, it might not be the worst thing in the world for us to drop down a level. Has happened in parts of the rugby pyramid. So there's been conversations like that. And so, look, it's a different way of resolving it, but they've been firm on this. They've gone away and worked on it. I think they've done a thorough job on it. They acknowledge not everyone's going to like it, but at least people will be rewarded for their performance on the pitch. So I'm expecting what we just passed 5:30. At some point on Friday night, we'll have the picture for rugby union. It's quite interesting that they've reached a different conclusion. And for those who maybe aren't aware, it's roughly, you know, a club I cover, Northwich, is roughly a similar level to Northern Premier League. So that's kind of what we're talking, that kind of semi-professional level of the game that are going to have this formula applied to them. So it's quite interesting. Lots of tense people waiting to see how the maths has worked out. And I spent hours last night trying to figure out where it might leave Northwich. But I've not published that because I didn't want to have made a mistake. But we're going to find out anyway very soon. And it's interesting. But again, people who are interested in this subject, it might be worth just having a little look in more detail at how the RFU have resolved this.
Very Duckworth Lewis. If it,
yes, it is. It's complicated. It took me a long time to do it, but I was, by the end of the exercise, I was convinced that it was thorough. Let's put it that way.
Just to say that's from the Premiership all the way down. Then I'm assuming that ruling.
Like in football, the Premiership is a case in itself. You know, they're kind of, but yes, from the second tier, which they also call the Championship, by the way, from the Championship down, so that goes all the way through the professional ranks, into the semi-professional ranks, and all the way down to the amateur game. And again, a couple of conversations I've had with people online this week, in the amateur game of rugby union, which is slightly below where Northwich play, having a pools panel to decide seasons, say when they've been seriously weather interrupted and teams have got loads of games to make up, they use a pools panel really often to decide the outcome of games. So within rugby, it's a bit more of a accepted principle to do it that way.
Just to say, the proper sport of rugby league, it's 2 points for a win and 1 point for a draw. Simple. Anyway, so there we go.
Oh, dear.
I did say I'd do that, though, didn't I? I did say I'd do that right at the end of the interview.
You did.
Right, Simo, I think we've covered all angles there. It was good to catch up because we obviously had a chat 2 weeks ago on the show about what the options were. And we've got to this situation now where a decision has been made and yet we're still discussing the options. So great, isn't it? Clarity, superb.
It is. So like you said right at the start, it's fluid and it's fast moving, but we're still kind of... Doesn't that 2 weeks ago sound feel a long time ago now? So that's how much it's moved on since then. But yeah, and my closing thought would be I would predict that it's going to rumble for some time yet.
Thank you, Simo, for joining us. Just before you go, just a quick plug for your Twitter feed, which is frantic at the moment. So it's basically like the Sky News breaking news ticker thing, but in Twitter form, your Twitter feed. Go on, plug it away.
And on that, thanks to everybody that's joined the debate. Again, huge cross-section of views. A lot of people not agreeing necessarily with my view on it, but it's been great that people have kind of been chipping in. So it's at @Simo_on_sport. Might be a little bit of rugby union in the next day and a half or so while we talk about kind of the impact that that's had there. But that's still really interesting because it kind of gives you a window into kind of the debate that PPG sparks off. So still come and kind of take a peek at that.
Non-league reporter from Cheshire, Andrew Simpson there, joining us on the NPL show. Let's get some interviews done then for this week's show. In a second, we're going to be hearing from the chairman at Matlock Town. Tom Wright will be joining us to talk about that brilliant gesture from the club that all NHS workers will be able to get a free season ticket at Causeway Lane. Superb stuff from Matlock. And Tom Wright will be joining us in a second or two. And later, you've probably been missing him, James Hayes will be back with us to talk about what's coming up on the social media channels of the Northern Premier League over the next week or so. But before that, let's talk about fundraising. And obviously, clubs are looking to plug holes in their finances during this health crisis that we all find ourselves in at the moment. And Stafford Rangers are no different. And for an update now from Marston Road, we should be joined by the chairman. It's John Bromley on the other end of the phone. Well, John, a big thank you for joining us. And the term unprecedented gets bandied around a lot at the moment during this unprecedented time that we live in, but it is unprecedented and a lot for chairman and football clubs to deal with at the moment. Where is Stafford Rangers at?
Well, we're trying to get some money in to survive this coronavirus. We've got four rooms that we use for hire and that's all shut down plus the club. So we've got no money coming in whatsoever. So we've put a few ideas out from our commercial. And one of the ideas is we're selling shares in the club. Because we don't mind anybody having shares in the club, which enables them to come to AGM and they can put forward anything they want to know about the club. And it's more a community club then, isn't it, with all the people in it. And we've been asking for donations and that sort of thing. So on the shares side, we've managed to raise, through people who haven't got shares or putting more shares in, 14,100. Which I think is not a bad start for the first week. Also, donations have come in at £2,300, which is just a straight-off donation which we've asked for to help us survive. The other options we're looking at are virtual match day experiences. And basically what it means, we've asked them with the amount of games that are left in the league that we aren't playing, to imagine that they will go to the match and they will spend money. And that money which they were going to spend, we're asking to donate to the club, which they'll work out by the say, it can cost to buy a ticket for the match, a pie and a pint for the last three games. If they do that, then they add it up and then they donate that money to the club. So that's where we are on our thoughts at the moment. But we are trying other ideas, but we haven't put them into practice yet. So overall, at the moment, donated to us £17,500.
Which is very, very impressive, to say the least. I mean, obviously, there's bigger issues here. We're talking about one thing is the survival of the football club in these crises. There's also, you know, your own personal health and that side of things as well. And the wider society as well. We want everyone, not just in Stafford, but everyone to get through this crisis. But there is the small matter of the way that the season's finished and the way that's concluded. We had Mark Harris on the show last week talking about that side of things. You're a bit of a benefactor of the decision that's been taken. So what's your view on how it's all played out, the conclusion of the season?
Well, obviously to suit us, and we're glad it's over because we're not demoted, are we? Not relegated at all. So we're starting to pick up from all the injuries we had, and we hadn't done so bad in the last couple of matches, and we had a chance to still get out of it, and we would have fought for that chance to get out of it. You know what I mean?
I mean, that's the thing with points per game. People could talk about points per game, but, you know, we had Andy Fern on about a month or so before the season concluded.
And
he was talking about the injuries that you've had and how he was getting players back. And he was confident. He was confident that he could claw that gap back. Points per game doesn't give you that. It's pure maths, and you would have been relegated based on that. So
we probably would have been relegated.
That's why it's... It's a tricky one, all this points per game business.
It is a tricky one. I'm not the one to ask that, really, not really. We've survived, and I'd do anything to survive, but I never thought of that way of staying up, personally.
John, before we go, we do have to just a quick mention then to the fans. They've been sensational already in this crisis. So what's your closing thoughts to the supporters and your message to the supporters before we go?
I'd like to thank them all for this year, for supporting us, even in a position as low as we've been most of the season on the bottle. They've been there for us, they've done everything for us, they've supported us, and they keep going to away matches. I mean, probably nobody's ever taken many fans away to away matches in bottom of the league than we have. And we've got tremendous, they're all tremendous. We love them all to bits. We're a community team, really. We know them all. We go on the bus, they come on the bus with us. We're a team. And I'd like to thank them all very, very much for being with Rangers and helping us all the time.
Stafford Rangers chairman John Bromley there speaking to us here on the MPL show on Friday evening. And don't forget, you can follow Stafford Rangers on Twitter. That's at SRFC official. But from the county of Staffordshire to the county of Derbyshire now and Matlock Town. Matlock Town have announced a brilliant initiative that next season all NHS staff will be entitled to a season ticket at Causeway Lane. Superb offer from Matlock. And for more on this, I caught up with the chairman at the club on Friday afternoon. Here's Tom Wright.
Yeah, well, obviously the situation it is, they're doing a fantastic job for the country. And we thought it was our own little way of helping them out in the future. Anybody living locally to Matlock who comes to watch the matches, and it's people that we can't offer anything financially, but we can offer people a season ticket to come to a great little club, a fabulous ground, and a nice atmosphere for the matches. So that was our thoughts. And so anybody with an NHS ID can apply for a season ticket when they go on sale a bit nearer the season. We don't know when the season's starting, obviously, but so that's what we did,
That's superb. It's superb stuff. Right, so obviously there's we touched upon the fact that, you know, you don't know when none of us know when the season's going to be starting next season. And that brings us to the challenges that chairmen like yourself are facing, not just in non-league football, but across all sports at the moment with no revenue. And obviously that takes us to the Just Giving page and all the crowdfunding that's going on at the moment. The supporters have come forward and are raising a lot of money at the moment for the club.
Yeah, it's been fantastic so far. We've raised over £6,000 so far on the Just Giving page. We're aiming to get 15, possibly 20,000. Because, as I'm sure you know, that we were miles behind with our fixtures, and we had six home games to fit in. So that's a massive loss of revenue for us, including FC United, which would have been a big money spinner for us. And obviously, we're getting no money from that now. Obviously, the social club is shut. We had a sportsman's dinner, which would have been yesterday, which would have made us a fair bit of money. So anything like that, there's just no money coming in at all now. So we've got to try and raise some money in some different ways. So we had the Just Giving idea, which so far has been a great success.
Like you touched upon with the number of games that Matlock had to fit in towards the end of the season, those donations are going to be so crucial. So how can people donate to the club? And is it just the donations at the moment, or is there more coming down the line?
There's donations coming in every day on the Just Give It page, which if you just go to our website, it directs, it's on Facebook, and it's very simple. Just click on and transfer the money over. But obviously, if anybody wants to send any donations by check, we'll accept that as well. We've had a few like that already as well, actually, which is not included in that figure. So any way at all is a great asset to us.
Yes, absolutely. MatlockTownFC.co.uk for more details on the Just Giving page and that side of things. And when it comes to... do I get you in trouble? Do I mention this? I'm going to ask you this question, Tom, about the end of the season and the way it was done. Because as we touched upon with yourselves, you're one of the anomalies which probably came into a lot of people's minds with regards to how can you finish the season? Do you finish it now? Do you do it by points per game, or do you nullify the whole thing? Because like we touched upon, you had loads of games in hand, didn't you? So, I mean, what's your take on how it's all ended?
Well, I think from our point of view, it is the best way it could happen because we, as you so rightly say, we had so many games to play and we would have been playing definitely three a week. And with the squad that you've got, you just get a slight injury, they're never going to be fit for the next match. Players will be playing with injuries, so not be 100%. So it would be really, really difficult to play at the 100% of your actual ability. So I think from our point of view, it's probably the best that it's happened like this.
Well, Tom, it's been great catching up. I mean, I should say that we're going to try and keep the show going during the month of April and that kind of thing, mainly to plug the fundraising that's going on at various clubs. Just a reminder, matlocktownfc.co.uk. And even during this time, you've still come up with a brilliant initiative for the start of next season, whenever that is, with the NHS staff. So congratulations on that side of things, Tom. But just before you go, just a quick message to the Matlock Town faithful as we head into this period now of no football.
Well, to the Matlock Town supporters and people involved with the club, all the best, and just think we'll be there as soon as we can, playing again, hopefully next season. We're not sure when pre-season matches are going to start, obviously, but we will be attempting to organise them as best we can and get going next season as normal, hopefully.
Matlock Town Chairman Tom Wright there joining us here on the NPL show. And for links, as we were discussing there, at @Matlock_TownFC. And speaking of social media, where can we go to next? Let's go to Mr. Social Media himself from a Northern Premier League perspective. I've turned it round there, James. You like that? James Hayes is with us. Hello, James. How are you?
Evening, Ben. How are you doing?
I'm all good. I've been missing you, mate. I'll be honest. I miss the old days where we just talked about results on the pitch and speculate about what's coming up over the next 7 days or so with regards to football. I miss our Integral League Cup chats as well. But we are where we are at the moment, unfortunately.
So I was going to say, with Berkey as well, missing out potentially there as well, but he was in the quarterfinals.
Oh, Berkey, I do apologise, mate. But like I said, we are where we are. And at this stage, you know, when this crisis first... hit this country, we did a somber show, didn't we, where we discussed it and what was likely to happen and that kind of thing. But, you know, at this stage, you know, there's a lot of people at home wanting content, which is a distraction in a lot of ways, which is why we've talked non-stop about structures of leagues and how you end a season. We even talked about rugby union on this week's show, James. You from a social media perspective, you know, you've done a cracking job of putting content out there. What's currently on the Facebook channel and on Twitter that might be of use to football fans out there sitting in their houses, self-isolating and that kind of thing at the moment?
Yeah, well, first of all, it's worth mentioning that some of the clubs still have got a competitive side. So obviously we set up the NPL E-Cup. Yes. This first one mainly is a trial, but if all goes well, I might have a chat with Cliverell, who have been helping me fantastically set it up, as well as a Twitter account called Debate Manager. helps as well with Football Manager being free over the last couple of weeks. Obviously, that deal's now ended, sadly. So, yeah, we've got 16 clubs involved and we've just got into knockout stages at this moment. I can't remember the full list off the top of my head. It's got an old Morpeth Town, FC United, Witton, Radcliffe, Gainsborough. A lot of clubs, not just in the clubs themselves, but some of the players. So you've got Greg Hartley at Aston United involved.
James, all we want to know is how have FC United got on? That's the most important
thing. Unfortunately, got knocked out in the group stages,
but,
if I remember.
But James, right. James, did we have a good time?
You did indeed.
Good. Well, that's all we're here for.
Well, put it this way, I believe the Radcliffe FC United game had a repeat of what happened in the Manchester Cup.
Was it one of them games? Pretty much. A bit feisty.
I think from what I saw the report, because obviously we do not as if it was the league sending the reports to me. It was like 7-8 yellow cards, 2 reds, and a riot in the stand.
When are you going to start your disciplinary issues, James? That's what I want to know. It's outrageous. okay. Well, that's great stuff with that, and hopefully that will develop, because esports is a growing area, isn't it? And you know, if it's pretty good as well, it's pretty addictive stuff, and it's quite interesting to read and stuff like that from afar. So every virtual match requires a virtual pie and a virtual pint or coffee. Or Hot Vimto, of course, and a virtual programme and all that. So lots of avenues there. Like I said earlier about matches, old matches, the MPL has got loads of, each club's got some great volunteers who've been filming away. And little did we know, they've been filming quite a lot. So that's coming quite handy, that archive.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it was the rule that came in this year for the Premier Clubs who had to film the games. However, a lot of them have got to send us the entire. We've been asking to send in a lot of details, and thanks to all the clubs that have done so far, have actually come in and sent the full content in. But we're now starting to look at not just at this season, but at the historic games as well. Ooh. So I believe, obviously, for the games that are coming up, there was Warrington Matlock that went up on Thursday. The game today or Saturday, depending on when you listen to it, is a 10-goal thriller for Carlton v Wisbeach. And then next week, we've got Hyde Ashton, try and get hold of the Integral final from last year.
That's all cracking stuff. What matches are coming up this week?
Yeah, so this week, we're going to start slowing it down a little bit just to make sure we've got more content going forward. So this Wednesday, it's going to be Hyde v Ashton United, 3-all from September. Next Saturday, we've got about 3 hours worth of goal footage. Yes. So it's going to be pretty much every goal from the league on the page for all Saturday. And then I'm subsequently editing. We've got the Basement v Matlock Town game. Everton have just sent me their game against Grantham. So that's currently in the editing pile as well. And I believe Basement have sent their game against Everton. So we have got quite a few games coming up. But like I say, we are reaching out to some of the clubs, not just potentially ones that were involved this season, but ones that have left in the past. We're trying to get hold of games at the same time too from historic situations. So I believe I'm trying to get hold of Chester for their game against Radcliffe a couple of years ago, Halifax Town getting contact with. So it's not just a case of it being this season, but we're looking 10-15 years worth of stuff. So yeah, just keep your eye on the page. Obviously, the more opportunities get out to get some clubs and people who know people who film games in the past, getting in contact with me on the Northern Premier League, we can see what we can do to try and get publicity, not just for the league, but for yourself a little bit as well there.
And the other thing as well, it's not just visual moving content. There's also words and interviews. Tunde Owolabi has been interviewed this past week by our friend James Gordon. And so those interviews likely to carry on?
Yeah, so obviously Tunde Owolabi was the first player, but we're getting in contact with players who were top of the goal scoring lists or involved in key games. So obviously we had the FA Cup game with Belp earlier in the season. FA Trophy runs, players involved in that sort of situation, as well as who were most likely to be involved with the Player of the Year awards, which we've still not forgotten for the supporters one. We're just giving it a couple of weeks just to get everything settled down, and we'll go ahead with the expanded version of the supporters award as well. So watch this space. So me and James Gordon are just getting our heads together at the moment to see what we can physically do realistically while we're waiting. And if it's of interest to people, we're not forgetting everything that's happened, but we're here to entertain you at this moment in time too, and that's the main thing. But we're doing our bit to help you alleviate the boredom.
James Hayes there from the Northern Premier League joining us on this week's NPL show. And that's it for this week's NPL show. Big thank you to all our guests this week for joining me. A special thanks as well to Andrew Simpson at the start, who guided us through very helpfully. the situation we find ourselves in at time of recording on Friday at 5 o'clock. Obviously, it's Friday night now, so things have probably changed again. But hopefully, a decent insight there regardless. And a big thank you to Tom and John, the Matlock and Stafford Rangers chairman. And in the coming weeks, we're going to get more chairmen and more clubs on to help promote their fundraising efforts as well in this difficult time that we find ourselves in at the moment. But that's it for the MPL show. We'll be back next week. But in the meantime, you take care and stay safe. We'll see you very soon. Bye-bye.